Tuesday Cafe. I'm Sean Canan, and we are broadcasting live on May 7th from the studios of WMNF in Tampa. And today we're going to talk about student demonstrations that have gripped campuses across the U.S. and even around the world. And that includes right here in Tampa at USF. We just heard a great discussion on Democracy Now! About the professor at Dartmouth who was harmed by police and her reaction to the police responses. We'll talk about all sorts of things about student demonstrations during this hour. Our guests today oppose the Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip and the financial connections of their university. Saba Indawala and Victoria Hinckley from Tampa Bay Students for a Democratic Society have been demonstrating at USF. And I want to welcome you both to Tuesday Cafe, Saba and Victoria. Sorry. All right, I messed up here. I have to turn off my audio, but I will get you back on in just a second. All right, let's try that one more time. Welcome, Saba and Victoria.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me all right?
I can. Thanks so much. Sorry I messed up there at the beginning. And Victoria, if you have video, that'd be great for our television audience as well.
Yes.
So let's begin with you, Victoria. You were a guest on WMNF's True Talk last week, and we learned that you were a student at USF, but you were suspended just before graduation because of your demonstrations. We'll talk about what happened at those protests later on in the show, but first of all, just let us know, are you still suspended by the university, and were you able to graduate? You, Saba, then. Saba, what can you tell us about why you're demonstrating at USF? What is it about the university and your demonstrations? And if you could unmute yourself, please.
Yeah, so we, Tampa Bay SES, led the encampments at USF, the community in support of us and other student groups in support of us, to demand for things from the university. And they were to disclose investor information to the student body, since, you know, students pay tuition, they should know where their tuition is being, where their tuition is going to. And then also USF divests now or like immediately, since from my understanding, they have like student government has made like resolutions to divest, but they, like, the university has never gone through with them. And then the third demand is to release a statement in support of Palestinian and Arab students, since after October 7th, the university president came out with a statement in support of Israeli students. And ever since, or like in their whole entire history, they've like constantly never been in like support of Palestinian or Arab students. And then our fourth and last demand is to stop attacks on student movements for Palestine.
Thanks. And that's Saba Indawala, who is with USF. And are you a student? And what's your major there?
Yeah, so I'm a current sophomore in sociology.
And we also have joining us again is Victoria Hinckley from Tampa Bay Students for a Democratic Society. And before we lost you a second ago, I was asking you if you were still suspended and if you were able to graduate over the weekend, and if you could unmute yourself.
Yeah, sorry about that. So I was a senior at USF, and I was suspended on Tuesday after, you know, USF used tear gas and rubber bullets and flares against students on campus. And they charged me with multiple conduct violations, student code of conduct charges, and they suspended me, an interim suspension, which just means that it could be lifted at any point. But right now it's still in place. And they wouldn't let me walk at my graduation ceremony on Sunday, it was scheduled for. So they wouldn't let me graduate. They have my record on hold. They still have me suspended. And I basically have to go through the whole conduct process and through like multiple hearings to, get the suspension lifted and see if they will give me my diploma.
We'll try to keep posted with that as we go, as you go throughout that process. So all these demonstrations kind of are based on the Israeli occupation of Palestine and also of the attacks that have happened since Hamas's October 7th attacks. And so let me read the latest. At least this is the latest. As of the last time I looked, things could have changed quickly. But via AP, an Israeli tank brigade has invaded the Gaza Strip and seized control of the Gaza side of the Rafah border crossing with Egypt. Authorities say Israel is moving forward with an offensive, even while ceasefire negotiations with Hamas remain on knife's edge. Today's ground invasion came after hours of whiplash in negotiations. Hamas said yesterday that it had accepted an Egyptian-Qatari-mediated ceasefire and hostage release proposal, but then Israel insisted the deal did not meet its core demands. So let's back things up to before we had these major protests and arrests last week on USF campus. Victoria, can you talk a little bit more about what Saba mentioned earlier about your demands that USF divest from Israeli military?
Yeah, definitely. So actually, I think it was back in 2021 or 2022, Tampa Bay SDS actually had a campaign. It was our central campaign at the time to get USF to divest from Israel because they have multiple investment portfolios that show that they invest in companies like Boeing and I don't think they invest in Boeing, but they do invest in companies like Caterpillar and HP. And those are two companies that have very heavy ties to Israel. And we see, you know, the machinery from Caterpillar being used to tear down, you know, Palestinian homes that have been there for centuries. And we see, you know, Hewlett Packard, HP being used at border checkpoints to, you know, imprison Palestinians for trying to travel in their own homeland. So, you know, we know that USF does invest in these companies. They're trying to keep things, you know, secret from students. They don't want us to see what companies they're investing in because they don't want us to know, you know, what other things that they're investing in that do have more connections to Israel right now. And that kind of is where the disclosure demand comes in, is that we want disclosure from USF, disclosure of their investment portfolios to, you know, show students where our tuition money is going, because, you know, that's our tuition money. We believe that we should have a say in where that money goes and where it's invested in. And yeah, the divestment demand just means that we, you know, don't want any ties from USF to Israel, and we don't want any investment from our tuition money into companies that are supporting the genocide of Palestinians right now.
That's the voice of Victoria Hinckley. And our other guest is Saba Indawala. They're from Tampa Bay Students for a Democratic Society. And we're talking about their campus demonstrations and also the response by USF. If you're listening live here on May 7th and you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. Or you can send a text to 813-433-0885. I'm Sean Canaan. This is Tuesday Cafe, coming to you from WMNF Tampa. So in response to your calls for divestment, USF put out a statement last month, April of 2024, on their investment policy. It said, for more than a decade, some individuals have campaigned for USF to divest funds from companies with ties to Israel. USF's consistent position has been and continues to be that the university will not divest. USF's investments are guided by its mission, fiduciary responsibilities, and state and federal laws. USF does not select individual stocks or companies for investment. USF will continue to make summary information about investments public, consistent with the university's investment policy and legal requirements. So that's the statement that USF put out kind of at the beginning of these protests. Saba, maybe you could tell us how you feel about that statement, about whether that meets your demands. If you could unmute, please.
Yeah, I think, you know, the school should be divesting in companies that the student body wants them to divest in. And I mean, like, we've seen countless protests on campus. We've seen many people in support of the movement, the student movement, for these universities to divest from companies that are, you know, funding the genocide in Israel. And
would you like to add anything, Victoria?
Yeah, I could add a little bit. You know, I think that statement definitely doesn't meet our demands. You know, they're kind of taking a neutral stance, if any, when we know that, you know, they're fully supporting Israel. They put out a statement after October 7th saying that they support Israel. But yeah, USF basically tries to claim that they're neutral and their investments, you know, aren't based on any political stance, while at the same time maintaining this kind of rhetoric that, you know, Israel like has the right to defend itself. So, you know, it's hard, you know, it's very contradictory for them to say that they're neutral in this and then for them to also say that they support Israel, you know, so they're kind of trying to play both sides. But, you know, obviously, you know, Asaba said, you know, students are seeing right through that. Students aren't, you know, we're not going to allow this to continue any further. We're not going to allow our tuition money to go towards the genocide anymore.
And some students at USF were so insistent upon this that they took it upon themselves to have a hunger strike on campus. Were either of you involved, or what can you tell us about what that hunger strike was and how it ended up?
Yeah, I can answer this a little bit. So I wasn't involved, and I don't believe Saba was involved either in the hunger strike. But yeah, it just goes to show like how popular these demands are among students at USF, and they have been for years. You know, as Saba mentioned earlier, I believe in 2014, there was a really widespread petition that got like over 10,000 signatures from students at USF to get USF to divest from companies that support Israel. So yeah, it's obviously a very widely supported demand at USF among students. It's been popular for you know, over a decade at this point. So yeah, and the resolution that kind of came out of that, you know, even though it's unfortunately not, you know, something that can bind USF administration to listen to the demands of students, you know, it's very symbolic that shows, you know, what the students want and like how they want it to be done, how like the changes that they want to see of their university.
So that resolution, did it get taken to the student government, and what was the outcome there?
Yeah, so I believe it went to a vote at the student government, and it passed very narrowly, because there was actually a lot of kind of discourse among student government. There were you know, people on kind of either side, I guess, as you would say it. So there was some disagreement within student government there, but it did pass. So it's a very positive thing regardless.
But I think you had pointed out that it's mostly just to kind of get the feeling of where the students lie, and there's no requirement that the administration has to follow through.
Correct. Yeah. Cause even back in 2014, I keep bringing up the petition that got, you know, thousands and thousands of signatures from students. You know, it was kind of just like vetoed by the president and by administration, because it's not, you know, binding. It doesn't demand anything. You know, it demands things, but it doesn't, you know, create this kind of, you know, requirement of divestment. It just kind of shows, look, this is what students want. And, you know, it's kind of up to admin at that point if they want to listen to the demands of students. And obviously, as we've seen, you know, they're not listening to the demands of students.
Our guests are USF protesters, Victoria Hinckley, who we're just hearing from, and also Saba Indawala. They're from Tampa Bay Students for a Democratic Society. And we're talking about the campus demonstrations, and also we'll be talking later about the response from USF. If you're listening live on May 7th, you can join this conversation. You can call 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. I'm Sean Canaan, and this is Tuesday Cafe. We're coming to you live from WMNF in Tampa. So your group is Students for a Democratic Society, Tampa Bay SDS. Tell us about that group. What is, how, you know, what are the origins of that group and what are your goals and mission and how many people are in it and so on? Saba, can you take that one?
Yeah. Were you asking like, what are we?
What is SDS?
Oh, so SDS, well, SDS is, Tampa SDS is a chapter of a national Students for Democratic Society, which is a, like I said, national action oriented activist organization. We we're focused on multiple issues and we're like student and youth led, and we have chapters all over the country. And Tampa SDS, like currently we have a campaign against DeSantis's HB 999, which or House Bill 999, which cuts like funding to diversity, equity, and inclusion on campuses. So our current demands are to expand Africana studies, fund multicultural orgs, and defend women and gender studies.
And your group, I think, is one of the groups that's participating in these protests, but there are also groups, the other groups there as well. And so I'm going to name off some groups and let me know, tell me whether what I'm reading in the newspaper or wherever is right. And this is, there are also parts of your protests there. The Tampa Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression, is that a group that you're familiar with? And what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, definitely. I can chime in on this one. So the Tampa Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression, yeah, they've helped out a lot with the encampments. We have a lot of friends in that organization. And so with TARPR, they're actually also part of a national organization called the National Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression, which SDS is also an affiliate of. So, you know, we work very closely. You know, we agree on a lot of the same issues. So we're able to work, you know, organizationally together, and that helps a lot. But yeah, what TARPR does is they're really focused on police crimes work right now. They're defending a man named Antoine Glover against, you know, he faced a lot of police brutality, and he has some, you know, false charges against him. So they're focused on getting those dropped. And along with police crimes work, they're also really focused on Palestine work in Tampa right now as well.
And then the group PSL, Party for Socialism and Liberation, we're going to hear from one of their members in a few minutes, because I encountered that group as one of the leaders at the demonstration when Joe Biden was in town. So have they been involved on the campus at all?
Yeah, they were. I think a few of their members were there on campus as well. Yeah.
And then CARE, the Council on Council on American Islamic Relations. I apologize for getting that name wrong at first, but they were also at the Joe Biden protest, and they, I think they've helped out on the legal side of things for some of the demonstrators. So are they involved at the USF protest as well?
Yeah, you can go ahead, Saba.
Yeah,
they have also been helping out on campus as well.
So let me, since I mentioned Joe Biden's appearance here in Tampa a few weeks ago, more than 100 anti-war demonstrators protested on the edge of the Hillsborough Community College campus in April before Biden arrived there. And what they were saying is that they took issue with the Biden administration's support of Israel's attacks on Gaza. They chanted things like ceasefire now. And I'm going to play this short clip of Ali Abdel Kader. He's an organizer with the Party for Socialism and Liberation. Their presidential candidate that he mentioned to me in that interview is... I'll find that and mention it afterwards. It's Claudia de la Cruz. And so he was protesting the Democrats' presidential nominee, President Biden. But here is Ali Abdel Kader from PSL.
We are here because Joe Biden is coming to Tampa. Joe Biden, who has been funding the genocide in Gaza, who has been arming the Israelis, who has supported them all the way through this process. Joe Biden, who, if he wanted to, could, with a stroke of his pen, stop sending weapons to Israel, force Israel to do an immediate and permanent ceasefire. He is complicit in this. He is complicit in war crimes in the Gaza Strip. All of the tens of thousands of people who have died, the millions who are currently starving in the Gaza Strip, he is complicit in that. And now he is coming to Tampa to talk about how he cares about women. To talk about how he cares about women? Give me a break. He does not care about the women in Gaza. If he thinks that he's going to win Florida while he's supporting a genocide, he has another thing coming. We are here to say, no, Genocide Joe, you are not welcome here in Tampa, and we're going to remind you of that fact. We're not going to let you forget it.
Okay, that's Ali Abdelkader speaking a couple of weeks ago. He's an organizer with the Party for Socialism and Liberation. He spoke in April at a pro-Palestine demonstration in Tampa. More than 100 people were protesting before President Biden's speech on the HCC Dale Mabry campus. And so, Victoria, would you like to respond to what Ali is saying there?
Yeah, definitely. I think that clip kind of really showcases like the messaging of the protests and why we were there. Because, you know, Ali was exactly right. You know, Biden came to Tampa, came to Florida specifically, where, you know, we're facing a 6-week abortion ban now. And he's trying to kind of make amends with his voters. He's trying to kind of, you know, show face and try to, you know, lie and say that he does care about these issues when, you know, when he was president, he did nothing to protect abortion rights. He did nothing to codify Roe v. Wade into law. And then Roe v. Wade was overturned, you know? So that was a, you know, a big promise that, you know, he let people down on, because, you know, lots of people voted for him under the guise of, you know, him protecting women's rights, him protecting reproductive rights, which he did not do. And now that, you know, Florida has passed the 6-week abortion ban, he wants to come back and try to say that he does care about women when, you know, his actions don't show that. And especially his actions of, you know, sending weapons and bombs to the IOF, you know, bombing women and killing women and children. You know, it's very clear that he doesn't care about women. And yeah, what Ali said was like definitely right. Because, you know, if Joe Biden wanted to, he could stop sending weapons to Israel. He could, you know, end this genocide, because, you know, there's no Israel without the U.S.'s support. I think it was last time I checked, it was like the U.S. Provides like 69% of Israel's weapon manufacturing. So, you know, it's our responsibility as people in the U.S. To demand these things of, you know, our administration, our presidential administration, and demand things of, you know, the institutions that we're a part of, like what we're doing at USF.
Our guests are Victoria Hinckley and Saba Indawala from Tampa Bay Students for a Democratic Society. They are USF protesters, and we're talking about their demonstrations at campus and the response by USF. And we're going to go to the phones in just a second to take a phone call from St. Petersburg. And if you're listening live on May 7th, you can also join this conversation. You can call 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. If you're like area code 970 out there and you want to insult people, I'm not going to read your comment. You can be sure about that. But if you have a serious question or comment to make, you can sign your name to your text and we'll put you on the air. I'm Sean Canaan. This is Tuesday Cafe, coming to you from WMNF in Tampa. So we're going to go to the phones now, because Mariana in St. Pete wants to ask you some questions. Here, hi, Mariana. Welcome to WMNF's Tuesday Cafe.
Hi, good morning. I'll try to make it brief, but I would like for the young women to help me understand actually a couple things, because it doesn't make sense to me. And the first is the requirement that USF divulge where their investments go. Let's just say, for discussion purposes, that's not going to happen. Why don't they just take their tuition dollars elsewhere to a university that will be better aligned with what they believe in, and that might divulge that information? And it's a simple analogy, but if I go to a restaurant and I receive yucky food or lousy service, I just don't give them my money anymore. So that doesn't make sense to me. And then the second they were talking about the new bill that DeSantis is bringing down and women's rights. And there's such a disconnect for me to support what I believe is Hamas and a very stringent, you know, they were using abortion for discussion purposes. And if you get pregnant, you get killed through Hamas. You get stoned to death. You can't vote. All of those things. And yet we're talking about women's rights. I don't understand. And I legitimately would like for them to help me understand that point of view.
Okay, Mariana, thanks for the questions. And would you like to take that, either of those questions? How about we'll start with Victoria?
Yeah, sure. So, for the first question, I think if students were to, you know, leave USF and find a university that, you know, does align with their beliefs more, I think, you know, that'd be really hard to find because, you know, a lot of universities in the U.S. do invest in Israel and do support Israel. And that's why we're seeing nationwide protests at, you know, hundreds of colleges and universities, you know, across the country that are demanding the same thing that we're demanding of USF because, you know, an overwhelming majority of them do invest in Israel and do, you know, support these Zionist beliefs. And I think, you know, what kind of first came into my head was, you know, I've lived in Tampa for over 15 years. You know, this is my home. And I've gone to USF for 4 years. I wouldn't want to just, you know, leave and give up. I want to see it improve. I want to see it change for the better. And that's why I'm fighting this fight for USF to change. I don't want to just, you know, give up and leave people at USF to continue this fight. You know, I want to be part of the fight. I want to be, you know, fighting this, you know, good cause. And then for the second question, sorry, I'm kind of trying to dig out the question in there. But yeah, I mean, I've heard no evidence that, you know, if, you know, a Palestinian woman gets pregnant that, you know, she's killed. I haven't heard that. I haven't, you know, seen any evidence to support that. But what I have seen evidence to support is, you know, there's women and children in Gaza right now that are starving. There's, you know, pregnant women in Gaza that are starving and, you know, women that are breastfeeding that need to feed their children that are, you know, undergoing famine-like conditions. And I think, you know, the resistance in Palestine is fighting against that. They're fighting against the genocide of, you know, Palestinian women. They're fighting against the, you know, blockade that Israel has on, you know, what food or resources goes in and out of the Gaza Strip. Because, you know, it's, you know, Israel and the IOF that are making that decision of, you know, where the food goes, where the water goes in Gaza. And right now they have no access to that because of Israel, because of the IOF. So the Palestinian resistance is fighting against that and fighting for the liberation of their people.
Thanks for the call, Mariana. Appreciate the questions from you. Thank you so much. Bubba writes in, he says, are the USF students getting support and solidarity from other Tampa Bay colleges like HCC, St. Leo University, or Eckerd College? And Bubba concludes his email by saying, these students are so impressive and I admire them. So Saba, are other universities joining with the USF students?
Not that I'm aware of that. Like, we haven't had like students come out physically from other universities, but we have had support from like other organizations and even like, yeah, from other organizations in the Tampa Bay community. Sorry, I'm like blanking.
Right. Yeah. Victoria, do you know of any other universities that have partnered with you guys?
And as far as partnered, I'm not sure of, but I do know that, you know, people that, you know, aren't even in the Tampa area will heard about the encampment and came over as fast as they could. You know, I encountered people from, you know, as far as UCF and professors from UCF and all across Florida that, and USF alumni and people that like didn't have, you know, a solid connection with USF. They came out to support us and support our demands. So it's clear that like, not only do USF students widely support these demands, but you know, the community of Tampa,
And, you know, even Florida, you know, supports us in demanding these things of USF.
Our guests are USF protesters Saba Indawala and Victoria Hinckley from Tampa Bay Students for a Democratic Society. And we're talking about their campus demonstrations and the response by USF. And we're going to get to those pretty soon. We haven't talked a lot of in a lot of detail yet about the demonstrations last week. If you're listening live on May 7th, you can join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. Please sign your name. And if you text 813-433-0885, please sign your name as well. And you can join this conversation. So David writes in, he says, thanks for bringing these great guests on your show today. I was surprised to learn recently that the University of Florida has the largest number of Jewish students in the USA. And he says, I think it's close to 10,000 students between undergrad and grad students. And he asks if you know how many Jewish students are at USF. And David concludes his email by saying, I went to New College when it was part of USF back in the 90s. We always had great student activism movement there. I was curious whether your guests are working with any of the legacy students at New College. And he says, unfortunately, the new administration there is meant to remake it into a Hillsdale College of the South. So thanks for those questions, David. Would either of you like to take on any parts of David's questions there? Okay, well, we can move on from there and we can talk. Oh, Victoria, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just giving Saba a chance to speak if you wanted to. But I can answer them. I don't know the number of Jewish students at USF off the top of my head. And then as far as the second question goes, we actually did, our SES chapter went to New College not too long ago. They had a panel, you know, talking about, you know, what kind of happened there and like what happened at the Board of Governors where, you know, their college was kind of like redone, like to fit kind of what DeSantis wanted to, you know, change about their school. So yeah, we do have some good connections from students at New College and people that used to go to New College. But as far as coming out to the encampment, I'm not sure if we had any New College students there. But you know, I hope they can show out to any future actions that we do have at USF.
Let me read another email or two that have come in. Greg writes in and says, anti-Semitism is being weaponized to scapegoat nonviolent student protesters and silence Palestinian voices. We are radicalizing our youth. This response shows nothing but fear and ignorance. That's what Greg says that out there in cyberspace. A similar comment was made by the last guest on Democracy Now! Who was a Professor Orlick. Annalisa Orlick, who is a Dartmouth professor who was arrested and manhandled by the police. And she said at the end of her interview to stop weaponizing anti-Semitism. She said it's offensive and it's wrong. It was also pointed out that she's a professor of Jewish studies there at Dartmouth and Jewish herself. And so that's she's echoing there what the Greg's comments were in that email. Any thoughts about what Greg just said? Saba, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, I think it's important to note that like anti-Semitism is used as, it's like always, sometimes it's like, it's used by Israel and the IOF to support Zionism, but there's a clear distinction between the two and they are not the same at all, where Zionism is an occupation of Palestine, and that has nothing to do with being anti-Semitic at all. And it's important to note the difference in the two and not relate them at all.
And Victoria, so I'm going to send this next question to you. James says, what about the non-student agitators and the fact that Hamas is the government there and the terrorist group there for your support Gaza, you support terrorists, is what James is saying out there in cyberspace. Any thoughts on that, Victoria?
Yeah, so for the first part, for, you know, non-student, I think he's referring to, like, protests, but yeah, we had lots of community support. I wouldn't call it agitating because I think if you even, you know, just look at some of the videos from that day, you can see our protests remaining, quite peaceful, staying very stagnant. And when, you know, people like the dean of students, Danielle McDonald, called in riot police and have them circle around us, you know, we just, you know, we don't escalate towards them. We stay where we are at our peaceful protests. And then the, you know, they call in the police to move towards us with tear gas and rubber bullets. So, you know, I wouldn't call it agitating, but we do have the community support. The past week at USF has made that clear, if anything, that the community of Tampa is rallying around the students right now, and they're supporting our demands for divestment. And yeah, I would say that's a really positive thing, you know, because, you know, USF is built in a community. So, you know, it's important that we have both of that support. And, you know, Tampa has one of the largest Palestinian communities in the whole country. So it's important that we have the community's backing and the community support right now. And then, so for the second question, I think that, you know, I think people are really quick to label terrorism as anything that they see that's, you know, not really on par with what they believe or what they want to think. But, you know, when you think about it really plainly, you know, what the battle that Palestine is fighting right now is for liberation. They're fighting their Zionist oppressors. They're fighting, you know, an army that has occupied their land for over 75 years now. And, you know, they have a right to resist. They have a right to rebel. You know, people, they're having their ancestral homelands taken over. They're watching their families, you know, be killed. They have a right to resist against this, you know, violent occupation. Because, you know, if Israel and the IOF is using violence against them, you know, why shouldn't they protect themselves? Why shouldn't they, you know, rebel against that? And yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't in the resistance in Gaza right now. And so I think if anything, if people don't support the resistance, you know, they're supporting, you know, the civilians and the people in Gaza that are, you know, starving, the children that are starving. And especially Rafah right now, there's, you know, it's densely populated with children. And, you know, if anything, people should be supporting, you know, children not being massacred and genocided.
Our guests are Victoria Hinckley and Saba Indawala from Tampa Bay Students for a Democratic Society. They are protesters at USF, and we're talking about their campus demonstrations and the response by USF. And this is Tuesday Cafe coming to you from WMNF in Tampa. I'm Sean Canaan. We've gotten a little bit further ahead. We haven't quite started talking about the demonstrations that happened last week. So let me get to that. If you're on the phone right now, hold on. I know there's a lot of people that want to weigh in here and want to say what they have to say, and I'm going to try to get you on later. But I do want to move us into what happened last week. So on Monday of last week, activists clashed with police at USF while they set up an encampment near the middle of campus. They're joining college activists nationwide protesting Israel's war on Gaza. Let's listen to about a minute of this report that was filed last Monday when students started to set up tents at USF. And we'll come back to our guests in just a second.
From the river to the sea!
From the river to the sea!
Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free!
A group of around 40 activists protested outside of the campus library, then marched to the MLK Plaza near the middle of campus with blankets and tents to set up an encampment. University police, school officials, and a smaller group of pro-Israel activists flanked the demonstration. Police handed out printed guidelines to some protesters. Later, things escalated when demonstrators started to set up tents. This led to a clash with police and some protesters being escorted away by the police. Students like Kamiko Solomon acknowledge the risk but continue to demonstrate.
Everyone should be scared, but at the same time, it's nothing compared to what the Palestinians are going through at the moment.
Protesters are demanding that USF divest from Israel, disclose all investment information, and put out a statement standing in solidarity with Palestinian and Arab students. Ali is a demonstrator who spoke at the rally.
Their investment portfolio has remained private since 2013. We as students, alumni, and faculty of a public university deserve to know where USF money goes.
In early April, a group of USF activists ended a hunger strike lasting over 2 weeks. They too demanded the university divest from Israel. For WMNF News, I'm Chris Young in Tampa.
Well, that's Chris's description of what happened last Monday at USF, and things were moving really quickly last week. We'll get to Tuesday in just a second, but this is the statement that USF put out on Monday, and honestly, I'm not going to have time to read it all. I was hoping that I would, but it's very long. The University of South Florida values the right to free speech and protecting the constitutional right for individuals and groups on campuses to express themselves. This includes peaceful protests and demonstrations that occur regularly on USF's three campuses without incident and are part of the public discourse of a university. However, the expression of free speech must remain peaceful and not violate the law or USF policies. The university has been clear that violence, threats, harassment, and disruptions will not be tolerated. And then it goes through about the arrests of three people that day on Monday. And it might make sense for me just to kind of now move into Tuesday before we go to our guests who are there presumably for both of these demonstrations. Last Tuesday, dozens of heavily armed law enforcement on the Tampa campus of University of South Florida can be seen in videos with shields and helmets as they disperse the peaceful gathering of people who are protesting the U.S. support of Israel's attacks on Gaza. So this was Tuesday afternoon. And I was not there. I was not there Tuesday. We had Chris there Monday. But I watched videos that were posted to Instagram. And here is the announcement that the police said when they were about to release what they called chemical munitions. So let's listen to that.
Do not resist arrest or any other enforcement action which could result in risk of injury which may occur. We will be utilizing chemical munitions.
We will be releasing chemical munitions. And you can see the video posted on Instagram by Resistance Tampa Bay. It shows police using gas and a number of protesters sprinting away from that gas. Some of them were crying and holding their heads. 10 students or 10 people were arrested that day. A former reporter of ours was there on the scene, and she said that even though she was reporting, she was still affected by the gas hours later. It was burning her nose and face and eyes. Presumably both of you were there. Saba, how would you describe what happened on Tuesday when those police arrested 10 people at USF campus?
I think it was really brave of people to continue to hold the line and to defend the encampment that we had up. It was insane that the administration called in the police and called in, I think, six jurisdictions against these peaceful protesters. And then we had, and the protesters had like shields and helmets and such. To protect themselves from the police, because the police came in riot gear. And from my understanding, I've never heard of like USF deploying tear gas before on students. So this was insane and like never seen before.
Were you one of the people that was arrested, Saba?
No.
Yeah, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
You're good. And it's interesting to see how administration would rather deploy this force and fear onto students and other activists there rather than just meeting the demands of the students. So,
Victoria, you were there and you were arrested. So why don't you describe what you can add to what our description was earlier and the sounds we heard and what Saba has said. What else can you tell us about that day?
Yeah, so I actually was not arrested. I wasn't arrested. I was charged with student code of conduct, alleged violations after Tuesday, but I was not arrested. I just have those charges placed against me. I can go a little bit more into depth. We heard the dispersal order. People that were holding the line on the encampment heard the dispersal order. We said, okay, should we disperse? And they said, no, we're going to hold the line. So, they're willing to put themselves on the line and, take these risks for Palestine. It goes to show how brave people are being right now, the lengths that people are willing to go to support these demands and to get USF to divest. And yeah, Saba said, in my time at USF, and as far as I know, USF has never used tear gas against students. They've never used rubber bullets against students. This was nothing short of historic. This was a nationwide student movement that we were taking part of. And this response from USF, it's similar to, what happened at, I believe it was Tulane University. We have an SES chapter there, and they were setting up an encampment. They had a tear gas used against them as well from riot cops that were called in by their administration. So, you know, it's a pattern of universities, and especially universities, you know, in the South that are, you know, suppressing student protesters in this way. And as far as at USF specifically, you know, I've encountered multiple times now the way that USF administration will call in the police to brutalize student protesters. You know, I experienced that on March 6th, where, you know, the Tampa 5 were charged and arrested. And I experienced that the first 2 days of our encampment at USF, you know, the brutal force that USF administration is willing to, you know, use against protesters and use against students that are demonstrating on campus. And, you know, they try to continue this lie that they support the right to free speech and they support, you know, students that are protesting. But, you know, how can they continue to say that when, you know, students were tear gassed on their own campus? You know, how can they say that when people were shot with rubber bullets? It's ridiculous for them to continue this lie. You know, they have never once in my 3 years in SDS at USF protesting constantly have I felt supported by the USF administration, and or have I felt that my rights were being protected by the USF administration. So, you know, they're trying to lie. They're trying to paint students. They're trying to paint our student protests as being violent and being escalatory towards the police when that's not what happened. And they're trying to say, they're trying to double back and cover their ground and trying to say that they support the right to free speech when we all know that that's not what happened on Tuesday.
Our guests are Victoria Hinckley and Saba Indawala with Tampa Bay Students for a Democratic Society. They're protesters at USF, and we're talking about the campus demonstrations that last week and the response by USF and by off-campus police. And if you're listening live on May 7th, you can join this conversation. I'll tell you how in just a second. I'm Sean Canaan. This is Tuesday Cafe. We're coming to you live from WMNF in Tampa on May 7th. And we have some people on the line. So I do want to get to these phone calls, some of these before the end of the show, if we can get to some. But I also want to hear from you. So you can drop us a line at 813-433-0885 is the text number. You can call 813-239-9663, or you can email dj@wmnf.com. Please sign your name. So let's go now to Art in Largo. What would you like to say, Art?
Yes, very, very good topic today. Thank you. I would like to respond to Mariana's two questions very briefly. Number one, divesting is a moral, nonviolent movement. It is not a political movement. Because it involves Palestinians does not make it a political movement. And number two, Mariana's opinion of Hamas as a terrorist group lacks context. Namely, Hamas was created as a response to the ethnic cleansing and occupation. It was created in 1982, some 15 years after the occupation of 1967. Thank you, Sean.
All right. Thank you, Art. Thanks for calling in and adding those thoughts. So appreciate everybody who's called in. Since we're on the line, let's go to Gia in Tampa. Hi, Gia. What would you like to say?
Hi. First, I want to say that I'm so proud of all the student protesters nationally that have been protesting. I'm so proud. You know, I call Tampa my home. I'm so proud to see so many brave students at USF standing up for what's right. I feel like right now is a really historic time, especially with the elections coming up and so much movement around fighting for the freedom of Palestinians and Palestine. I just wanted to ask if Saba or Victoria know of anything happening, I mean, locally, but also nationally, movements around big marches or anything around Palestine that people can go out to.
All right. Thanks, Gia. We will put that to our guests. So Saba or Victoria, do you know of anything? How can you respond to Gia?
Yeah, so this upcoming Saturday in Orlando, there's a protest to remember the Nakba, I believe. And yeah.
So Saturday in Orlando, there's a demonstration, a statewide gathering, I presume?
Yes, I think at Lake Eola, Mark.
Yeah, okay. At Lake Eola, we'll look into that and see what we can find out about that, unless you know more about that, Victoria.
I don't have any details to add on that event, but I do know that we're going to be planning a protest here in Tampa on Nakba Day for the Nakba on the 15th of this month. It'll probably be in downtown Tampa, but people should be on the lookout for that flyer on our socials.
So possibly something coming up this Saturday in Orlando and on the 15th in downtown Tampa or wherever it gets scheduled. So thanks for that. I hope that helps, Gia. Thanks so much for calling in. Thanks, Gia. And let's see if we can squeeze in one or two more. Let's see. Robert in Sarasota, what would you like to say?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was actually walking in the door from work at 5 o'clock when I saw it being advertised on, I think it was Channel 8 was broadcasting it live. And everything I saw was procedurally correct. It was very satisfying to see law and order restored against just a few people who... I don't even think they understand what they're protesting, because if they did, the narrative would be protesting to remove Hamas from Palestine, not from removing Israel from Palestine. So I think the American people are smart enough to see through the childish, ridiculous behavior of these freshmen, sophomores, and the people that are inciting that and allowing them to have a voice. But they can grab their signs and chant justice for Lindsay out on the sidewalk. We don't want them in our public institutions and our schools. And I think your topic today is genuine, and I get it. But most of your callers are oblivious to the reality of what's going on in the Middle East. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Robert. All right. So, Victoria or Saba, would you like to respond to any of those phone calls?
Yeah, I can respond to Robert's call there. So yeah, I think, you know, it's actually the opposite. I think a lot of people, and especially students, are, you know, really highly educated on this issue. I think they're, you know, finally waking up to, you know, the reality that Palestinians are facing right now in Palestine and in occupied Palestine. And I think, you know, the nationwide student movement that we're seeing of encampments right now is, you know, an expression of, you know, their education on this. Because, you know, I didn't know, you know, much about Palestine and much about Palestinian liberation until I joined SCS, because we're such an outspoken group about Palestinian liberation. So, you know, it was through that that I was able to, you know, gain this insight and gain this knowledge and, you know, speak with Palestinians like in the community and, you know, see their insight on it as well. And yeah, I think that, you know, kind of to his second point, you know, schools don't run if students aren't there. You know, there's no university if there's no students and there's no students paying tuition. So, you know, I think that we have every right to be doing what we're doing. I think we have every right to demand these things of our university because, you know, it's our school. We make it what it is, and we want to see these things of our universities.
Before I get too much ahead of the game, since we have been talking about the protest that happened on Tuesday, and we are getting the response of the students who were there, I also want to talk about what the university responded. I can't read their whole statement. We don't have time, but I'll say they said, as the day progressed, police observed participants in person and through social media expressing their intent to use some of the items they brought on campus as weapons and to resist university staff members and law enforcement officers. As a result, USF police determined that the protest was no longer peaceful and participants must leave the area. There's things before that and after that, of course, but that's kind of USF's decision about why they used the police to break up the protest that they said they expected to be violent. On that note, unfortunately, we have just a few seconds left, so I just want to thank my guests for coming on Tuesday Cafe today, Saba and Victoria. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks to both of you. Saba Indawala and Victoria Hinckley are with Tampa Bay Students for a Democratic Society, and we've been speaking about their anti-war demonstrations at USF. You've been listening to Tuesday Cafe. I'm Sean Canaan, News and Public Affairs Director at WMNF Tampa. During this time slot tomorrow, Shelley will host Midpoint. Coming up next is Wavemakers with Janet and Tom Scherberger. Their Wavemaker today is the iconic Tampa personality Joe Redner, who has spent decades fighting against government intrusion into our personal lives. Hope you stay tuned and listen to that. Then coming up at noon is Wide Awake America with Nadine Smith. Her guest will be historian Danaya Wright, who will unpack Florida's assault on academic freedom. This has been Tuesday Cafe, coming to you live on May 7th, 2024 from the studios of WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to my guests, Saba and Victoria.